Hey, Hicken here. Thanks for checking out the 1010XL On Demand. It's brought to you by Kuhn Flowers. Locations on Beach Boulevard and in Ponte Vedra. Kuhn Flowers wants to be your florist.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, off we go to the weekend. It is upon us. Friday night, right here in Jacksonville. A feel-good weekend. Just let it settle in. I mean, actually a little bit of rain today. The Bartram bubble popped earlier this afternoon. I'm not even an I need it guy, is now a renter for the first time in about 20 years. But it was good to see the backyard, the pond, the ducks were happy. My cats were looking outside. And I bought those cats for my kids, but now that they're teenagers, they're not always around. You know what it's like? I think you do. All right, we got plenty to get into over the next couple of hours. My name is Rick Ballew here on a Friday night, along with my producer, Matt LeVay. And really, a shocking development, a Friday news dump out of Houston. Brian Gain fired. How? Why? I mean, I understood kind of the Mike Maccagnan fire, because the New York Jets are a colossal mess. And that's New York. And, you know, Le'Veon Bell, Sam Darnold, you can do whatever you want there. That is still a dumpster fire. Houston's an up-and-coming team. They had a disastrous offensive line, but they went out and they drafted Titus Howard. I know some people are upset about that because he played at Bama State. As a matter of fact, I think two out of the first three picks that Brian Gain had were from, can I still call it Division I AA, or do I have to, I never even have referred to it as FBS. What is the second brand of, is it FCS or something like that?
The second is FCS. Yep. I know that because my North Dakota State Bison play in it.
Well, leave North freaking Dakota out of it. We're talking about Houston. Can we just, for crying out loud, can we stop making all these damn changes? FBS, FCS. I mean, it's just remarkable. But the Jets are the Jets. They have problems. Houston was 11-5. And again, two of their first three-round picks didn't come from Power 5 schools. The Gene Smith route came into effect for Brian Gain this past year in Houston, including back in April during the National Football League draft. And, you know, I read the reviews. I certainly studied the reviews of the AFC South, the four teams in the division. And some people wondered why they went in that particular direction where there were other offensive line available, including Jacksonville's Juwan Taylor, who, of course, the Jags snatched up in round number two. But you can't fire a general manager based on this year's draft class. They've never stepped foot on the field. I mean, yeah, okay, a mini camp, some OTAs. I mean, what's the old rule of thumb? You can't really grade a draft class until 2 or 3 years down the road. You can't completely grade Jacksonville's draft class from a year ago. I mean, is it fair to give Taven Bryan a draft grade based on what he's already done? DJ Chark based on what he's already done? Ronnie Harrison, based on what he's already done. No, you can't do it that way. You got to allow it to play itself out 2-3 years. So something had to have happened, or maybe Houston just believes they can get better. Maybe they believe there's someone out there that they can bring in right now who automatically makes them a better football team. I look at a guy like Scott Pioli, who's now available, right? Recently with the Atlanta Falcons. There are ties between Pioli and Bill O'Brien. You know, reportedly, a couple of years ago, when Rick Smith left, there were reports that Houston was in contact with New England for Nick Caserio, who's done a phenomenal job for years working with Bill Belichick, the Patriots' highest executive when it comes to contracts and aiding in the draft. Monty Ossenfort, a one-time Texas scout or Texan scout who's now part of the New England Patriots. They were both denied permission to talk with Houston, you know, a year ago when this situation did come up, when Brian Game was brought in. But, you know, that's really the only thing I can think of. Joe Douglas, all the talk he's getting right now in Philadelphia. Obviously, he's got a relationship with Adam Gase. There's been plenty of talk that maybe he's on his way to the New York Jets. But still, the days keep passing and a deal has not been done in New York City. That's the Jets. Of course the Jets are going to fire their general manager and not really have any clue as to who the next man is going to be. That's the way New York rolls. I expect Houston, you know, the Cal McNair and company, they already have a plan in place. And they're going to exercise that plan a heck of a lot sooner than later. But still, what a really, you know, bizarre type of story on a Friday afternoon to have, once again, another general manager fired in the National Football League. That's now two post the NFL draft, one in New York and one in Houston. The Jags, I believe, have both teams this year. I know they have Houston home and away, the home game, obviously, in London. I want to say the Jets are on the regular season schedule as well. For the Jags. I'm actually going to get to some schedule talk in just a little bit, and it's going to involve the Seminoles as well. So hopefully you'll be around for that. All right, we saw it last night. Another incident where the officiating has affected the outcome of a major game. Now, I'm kind of on the other side of this, and I've been getting beaten up by some of my old school buddies back in Boston. I tried to explain it with Frank, Lauren, and Hayes. I already have my meltdown, and I've exhausted it all. I'm like a tube of toothpaste, okay? You can punch me. You can jump up and down on me. You can squeeze me. You can do whatever. Just, you can't get anything outside of me, all right? I did that during game four, Monday night. That was it for me. I mean, I've just exhausted myself of it. During that moment, that was just awful play by Boston. And to get one shot on goal in a 10-minute period, the final 10 minutes of the third period, one shot. And for the former Lizard King coach, Bruce Cassidy, to continue to walk out there, Danton Heinen, who is such a sissy, and for him not to pick up the stick of O'Reilly at the end of game four, which led directly to the game winner, that was it. I was so pro. This will be, I mean, this isn't Georgetown Villanova, but Boston is a better team than St. Louis. Anyone who knows anything about the game can see that by simply watching it. They're being out-executed. They're being out-hustled. They're being out-coached. Craig Berube, okay? He went to the mat for his players early in the series, openly complaining about hits and Boston being dirty. You know who the Boston Bruins are? They're the Jack Tatum Oakland Raiders. They're the Vontaze Burfict Marvin Jones Cincinnati Bengals. I'm giving you football analogies because I know about 5% of the audience actually cares about hockey. That's why I'm only going to give it 2 minutes worth. Now, move it on. Move on or move out. But that's the deal. Bruce Cassidy hasn't fought for his players. When you got a rat on there like Brad Marchand, he's a cheap shot artist. And Boston carries that label with him. Can you imagine if it was Brad Marchand who had the incident that occurred last night with the sweeping leg and the non-trip? Brad Marchand would have been suspended for at least Game 6 on Sunday night and maybe Game 7. Because he's got that reputation. Craig Berube has fought for his team. And the result of that is the whistles are not being called. Even though those will say Boston actually had more power play opportunities last night in St. Louis, St. Louis created many more penalties. The more egregious penalties last night were the two headshots that weren't even called in this game. But that's all you're going to get from me. All right? Listen, I went nuts when Miles Jack wasn't down. I did. And we saw it in the playoffs, the NFC Championship game on the non-pass interference. We saw it in the AFC Championship game when Chris Jones came in and rocked Tom Brady and they called it a helmet to the head. It was helmet to the chest. We saw it with free throws at the end of the game in a Final Four. We've seen it in the NBA playoffs. We saw it earlier in the NHL playoffs. A five-minute major between Las Vegas and San Jose led directly to three unanswered goals and fixed the outcome of that series. We had to go to the videotape with the stewards involved at this year's Kentucky Derby. Sports is broken when it comes to officiating, referees, and umpires. And the human error is a factor. It absolutely played into Game 5 last night. But Boston can't score. They have the best line in the world. And Patty Bergeron and Brad Marchand and David Pastrnak have not been able to score. 0 points on 5-on-5 play. Their points are only coming when they get a power play, and they did not last night. And St. Louis now is riding a hot goaltender, and they're out checking Boston, and they're out playing Boston. And Craig Berube, I hate to say it because I love Butch Cassidy, out coaching Bruce Cassidy. There's no way that he should allow Danton Heinen to play in Game 6 at St. Louis on Sunday night. There's no way. This is a man's game. And he is playing like a complete sissy. Do not allow him to take the ice. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to sit down the former Blue and David Backes. Trust me, it's going to happen. Boston had that crowd last night. They walked out Zdeno Chara with a broken jaw. Kevin Durant's going to take tonight off again. He's got a twinge. Chara came out and played with a broken jaw. He couldn't even talk. That crowd was electric as it's ever been. I don't care if it's football, baseball, in that great sports town. And that team could not rise to the challenge. They allowed St. Louis to go in there and win. No one's going to feel sorry for Boston. And I'm actually in that category, believe it or not. Much as I love the Boston Bruins, and they are my favorite team. When you get out-hustled and outplayed and outperformed, and the effort is not there, it's your own fault. St. Louis, as I said, flipped the series at the end of Game 4. The Blues will win the Stanley Cup Sunday night in St. Louis. All right, when I do return, a couple of things I want to get into. Number one, when did Florida State settle? I'm going to let you think about that for a minute. The word settle, very interesting word. Okay? I mean, just think of yourself. Did you settle? Okay? Did your wife settle? Were you your wife's number one choice? Did your girlfriend settle? We in life settle far too damn easily. When did Florida State fans settle? I've had a lot of conversations since I kind of went off on them two shows ago. If I threw an 8-4 down right now for Florida State for the 2019 season, my guess is that 90% of you Seminole fans out there right now would take it. Are you freaking kidding me? When did you settle, Florida State fans? That's coming up next. We roll into the night on a Friday. My name's Rick Ballew.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Diamond Life, Lover Boy.
Diamond Life, Lover Boy.
Move in space with minimum waste and freaking maximum joy. Then the lyrics just get really awful. City lights, business rights, when you require streetcar desire for higher heights.
Yeah, you've already got me lost there.
Back in the day, LaVey, I used to be told that this was good lovemaking music. Sade. Or Sade.
Yeah, when you first told me about it, I looked at the name and I thought it was Sade, but you corrected me saying it was indeed Sade.
Do not settle, people. Get after it on a Friday night. Are you kidding me? You're better than you appear. You are a smooth operator. The whole world of settling is really a concern. I mean, no one wants to be alone. And I think we do it. That's kind of the human way about us. And I'm not talking about looks, and I'm not talking about the size of your wallet. Okay, there's so much more in life. Okay, it's compatibility. It's the ability to laugh. I mean, isn't that the greatest trait of all, to make someone else laugh, have a good time? When you're doing that, you're not thinking about anything else. Reach for the highs tonight. I feel it on a Friday night. I really do. I can feel it oozing through the microphone. Settling is what my brethren has done, and it really kills me. You get on the Jameis Winston Highway, about 150-some-odd miles, and that's where we're at. And I'm going to do whatever the hell it takes to get you out of that. Where did the settling come in? And I don't know. That's why I'm asking. And this isn't a, Baloo's pissed off tonight. His Bruins are out of it, so he knows that he can't talk about the Bruins because no one gives a damn about the Boston Bruins in Jacksonville. So I guess the next best thing you can do is pick on Florida State. I mean, it's his favorite son. He graduated from there. It's not that. It's not at all. Because I've always been angry. I was angry when they lost one game a year, wide rights or whatever. I got all pissed off there. You see the Dustin Hopkins thing they sent out today on Twitter? They show like Hopkins' game winner against Clemson in 2010. It was like tied at 13 apiece. You know what my initial response was?
What's that?
Why don't they throw the one out there he missed the 40-yarder against North Carolina to lose it? Or the 42-yarder against Virginia to lose it? And I'm sure Hopkins didn't want to miss it, either one of the two. But seriously, why is it that, like, in our world, an error can get between the legs of Bill Buckner, and that's all that anyone will remember him for? Or you can be Dan Mowry or Jerry Thomas or the freaking X-Man. You miss a wide right, and that's all you're remembered for. Yet those are very good kickers. But then you're a guy like Hopkins who looks so foolish with those gold shoes. He makes it in a tie game against Clemson, and people all remember that, but they don't remember the 40 and 42-yard misses at the end of the game against the freaking Tar Heels and Cavaliers. Those are games you have to win. And that kind of gets to my whole settlement and settled-in conversation. Where did this all begin? I work with a ton of Gators. Okay, they were violent after a 4-8 year. And they didn't want Dan Mullen. Most of them will tell you they wanted him now because it's easy, it's convenient, and I also think there are some I'm never wrong guy around. They wanted Scott Frost. They wanted others. That's okay. That's okay. Long past that. Dan Mullen earned it, 10-3, two very good recruiting classes. Still, my point is they were unhappy. They walked around here with attitude. They said, fix it. It's not working. It hasn't worked. Will Muschamp was a joke. McElwain was a joke. Get it fixed. The Jimbo situation was so bad because he was divorcing Florida State. And he was prostituting himself yearly to other schools. He did it when he was the offensive coordinator, head coaching and waiting, and he did it throughout his career here. And even though he brought Florida State a national championship, I say screw you, Jimbo, forever. Because no one uses Florida State. Florida State's not a 2 a.m. booty call. Florida State is a tremendous school. And Jimbo used Florida State. He also made Florida State a hell of a lot better than the late Bowden years. The late Bowden years, they got fat and bald. Jimbo brought guys in, recruited like a warrior, and players got better. They got better as sophomores, juniors, and seniors. Except for Dustin Hopkins, who missed those two field goals against North Carolina and Virginia. I'll get over it. Sure, I'll get over it. I'll get over it when you put me in a wooden box. But where did the folks settle in here on Willie? Now, Willie took everyone by storm. I was like a little kid last year when I interviewed him at the ACC meetings in Charlotte. He said all the right things, including, I'm not going to sub out my offense. Walt Bell will listen to what I want. Walt Bell's going to run the offense, but it's my offense. So you're calling the plays? I'm calling the plays. Okay, well, that didn't work out too well. We'll see. All right, year one to year two, everything changes. We'll give the benefit of the doubt to Willie Taggart. But if you look at the talent and talent alone, Florida State has more talent than any school that they'll face this year, including Florida, including Miami. The only team on the schedule doesn't that has more talent is Clemson by a ridiculous amount. But where did the settling come in? You're allowed to be angry. You're allowed to want more. You're allowed to not settle. I'm telling you, I witnessed it firsthand with Gator fans in this city. I deal with tons of Gator fans. I mean, just about all business owners are Gator owners. By the way, there's like no Florida State money in Jacksonville. Okay, I think I know like two Florida State business owners. I know there's Florida State fans in Jacksonville, but there's no Florida State owners in Jacksonville. Very little money in Jacksonville. Still, when they're winning, they fill it up in Tallahassee. They go to the games. So that's really irrelevant. I'm just giving you the other side of things in our business. Okay, most of the people I talk with, most of the people I rep, they're Gator grads. There's Gator money everywhere. Not a lot of Noel money. And don't get me wrong. I'm never, ever, ever going to tell Florida State fans not to support their team. You have spoken. You didn't go to the games last year. You had 20-some-odd thousand that went to the spring game this year after you had 62,000 that went to the spring game a year ago. I talk to Seminole boosters all the time. There are tremendous seats available for the opener right here between Florida State and Boise State. And what are really the expectations for that game? Florida State favored by 4.5. Boise State, one of seven teams in all of college football to return their entire offensive line. Honestly, what are the expectations? That's what I mean by settling. Honestly, if I said to you right now, you could take an 8-4, how many of you would take that? I wouldn't take that for anything. As far as I'm concerned, Florida State this year should be 11-1, 10-2 at worst. They have no prayer of beating Clemson. None. They should be able to play with Florida. Right now, I'm giving the odd to Florida. How can I not? They improved their offense. They went from 22 points a game to 35 points a game. Florida State had the worst rushing offense in college football and the most penalized team in all of college football. And they were just horribly coached. But they have sick talent, and they should be able to recruit. They should be able to rebound. They should be able to respond. So again, I'm going to ask the question for a third time. When did you settle on Florida State? I'll take a 7-5 this year. We're on the come. Are you kidding me? A 7-5, an 8-4? You're going to sign up for that right now? I mean, folks my age who are maybe paying tuition for kids to go to Florida State, or maybe you're recently out of Florida State and you're welcome to the real world, you're trying to find a job. It seems like it's the younger audience who has settled on this, which is even more mysterious to me, because you were around for so many of those great years when you were a baby, when you're on your mama's hip or your dad had you on your shoulders. And every year the Noles were playing for it throughout the 80s and the 90s. And yeah, they had some down years after the 2000, but they found their way back. Where did that all evolve? Seriously, I'm asking a question right now. I don't have the answer to this. Don't tell me it's cyclical. It'll come back. I don't have time for that. I'm not getting any younger. I don't have time for things to be cyclical. I want problems fixed. And Willie Taggart come here and talk to you people and say, I really like the direction of our program. I think we have a chance to be good this year. He said some things yesterday about James Blackman. He wants to be great, wants to do this, wants to do that. And it's like, all right, that's good enough. I'll take it. Point I'm trying to stress tonight is that nothing short of excellence should be your drive and your goal as a Florida State fan. Where did being just adequate become good enough? I think a lot of it is today's culture. But it's extremely disappointing. Now, Florida went through some awful years with some bad coaching. Whenever I get an opportunity to take a shot at something Florida related, I'm going to do it. But I will say this. They were totally PO'd about it. Okay? And when people talked about the problems and said things about the problems and found ways to try to correct the problems, they sat back and they listened. Around here, it's kind of, oh, you know, Ballou's picking on Ford. Oh, you know, what do you expect? I mean, it's only year one. I mean, what? Really? I mean, as I just got done telling you, I really don't have to speak about you. I'm not told to. There's no money that comes in from you. None. So I don't have to do it. If you wear the garnet and gold, consider yourself damn lucky that I do. That I give it the attention. If you don't like the style, screw you. I'm not changing. It's the way I've always been. You need to wake up. You need to wake up 100%. And you need to stop settling for something that is awful right now. And start demanding better. You're the only one who can do it. You need to yell. You need to be loud. You need to start turning the other cheek. And believe me, not buying seats and not attending games is the worst thing that you can do. I am not saying that. Go to every single one of those damn games. And seriously, I'm going to hit to this break right now because I want to hit it on time. How many of you really tonight have a good feeling about Boise State coming in here on August 31st? It's freaking Boise State. For $1 million, I don't even know what conference they play in. They play in a blue field. It's Friday night. Do you really think that they're going to beat Boise State? No. But you've settled in. You've accepted it. And you're okay with it. Now, my name's Rick Ballou. I have a microphone. And I don't like it.
Into the Night with Rick Ballou on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Friday Night Show brought to you by Key. That's Key Buick. That's Key GMC. Drive the number one selling crossover in all of America. That's the Buick Encore. Save up to 22% on all new Encores right now in stock over there at Key. As always, the lifetime powertrain warranty is in effect. Save up to 22% right now on all Buick Envisions. All right, the Buick Envision available. Lifetime powertrain warranty, corner of Southside and Gate. Visit them this weekend. Pulled out of there today. Just dropped it in for a normal maintenance checkup. My good buddy Jeff Moore over there. And I went and picked it up. And it was all, I mean, I think he took a baby's diaper to it. It was just so sparkly. It was so beautiful. I felt so blessed to get in the truck, all jacked up, Sierra 1500. Baby diaper was taken to it. Pull out and it rained for the first time in 70 days in Jacksonville.
That's the worst, especially with the black car. Just rain spots everywhere.
We need it, though. And I'm not even a homeowner. We need it. We do. I mean, I'm a big animals guy. I love ducks. I think the only one who loves ducks more than I did was Tony Soprano. A huge duck guy. When I look up my backyard, whether it was where I lived for the last 12 and a half years or where I've been living now for the last couple of months, got ducks. I just, there's something that really soothes me about it. You know, Bruins lose a game. Go outside, look at ducks. Florida State wins five games a year and the fans are okay with it. Go outside and look at ducks. That's how I get over things, Glavay.
I absolutely hate ducks because they never get out of the road and just sit there when you're trying to move.
No, those are geese.
No, ducks too, at least in our neighborhood, in our neck of the woods.
All right.
Yeah. Geese too, all of them.
Well, we'll see. Listen, I live on the other side of the tracks where only geese do that there.
See, on the west side, our ducks aren't as friendly as the ones over on the east side in your area.
The 2595 says, come on now. I don't even care for Kevin Durant, but his situation is a little different. You don't need your jaw to skate. You can't explode without one leg. You know what? You're right. And I'm a huge Kevin Durant guy. I'm just kind of popped, you know, kind of came to mind to me. Kevin Durant's no Willis Reed. I'm sure he really wants to play. And I've read all the articles where it's saying it's killing him. He wants to be out there. But the point is, it's just a difference mentality-wise between a hockey player and a basketball player and a hockey player and a baseball player. Can you imagine if a baseball player had a broken jaw? He'd be out for 5 years as a minimum. I mean, if a baseball player feels like a twinge, he's automatically placed in a rubber room for 30 days. Baloo, keep talking hockey, yada yada, the 0976 auto sign. I can't. I'm on a hockey shot clock. I've already exercised that. The 0924 says, wasn't Jumbo there for like 8 years? How's that using FSU? Now, obviously, you weren't in the know, so let me remind you that almost every single year, Jimbo was involved in conversations about taking another job. And it would have been so easy for him to take himself out of those jobs just by saying, I love it here at Florida State. I'm not interested in any other jobs. But instead, Jimbo go, nah. Not going to talk about any other jobs. He brought it upon himself. He used Florida State, but he made Florida State better while he was there until the very end. This guy says Florida State will win by 20. This guy says, let's go Cuse. Yeah, Syracuse beat him big last year. All right, you can continue to hit me on the text line, 1010XL text line, brought to you by Built by Lifetime Enclosures. Honestly, though, Jags have 16 games. Florida State has 12. If I was giving you even money across the board, and I'd put Florida in this, but the whole world would pick Florida, or my listening audience would pick Florida. Who wins one more games right now? Who would you pick, LeVay? 16-game schedule for the Jags. You and I went through it, because I saved it, after the draft, and we had them going 7-9.
And the funny thing about that was, again, we both picked them different, you know, losses and wins, but the same record.
Right, 7-9, and we'll do it again right in early September when final cuts are made before the opener against Kansas City. We'll see if that record changes at all. You and I both had an identical record of 7-9. We haven't gone through, you know, Florida or Florida State schedule. We'll obviously do that as we get a little bit closer to the season. But, you know, just based on them going 5-7 a year ago, who do you have winning more games this year, Florida State or Jacksonville?
I would say Florida State. I think they do bounce back this year. I've got a good feeling.
I think Florida State should win 9 games, maybe 10. Honestly. They should. I mean, here's a guy I'm referencing, Syracuse. Syracuse beat their brains in. Boston College beat their brains. And these schools beat their brains in. They invented ways to lose to Miami over the last couple of seasons. Florida State's a better team than Miami. Clemson should beat them, and Florida's a better team right now. That's it. Yet, People believe Virginia's going to beat them in Charlottesville on opening day in the ACC. People believe Boise State's going to come in here and win on opening day on the 31st of August. Florida State should win more simply because they have a much easier schedule than the Jaguars. Even though the Jaguars play four more games, there aren't any layups on an NFL schedule. They're just, that's not the case. And to think differently is wrong. And the way that the league is structured, each and every year, there are horrible misses when you prognosticate in the world of the NFL, where for the most part in college football, the so-called experts get it right. Because there's such a difference between power teams, very good teams, and then average and poor teams. I'll keep saying it. Last year I had Green Bay beating Jacksonville in the Super Bowl. Neither of those two teams made it to the playoffs. That's what I mean by that. It's so difficult with eight divisions, four teams per, and all of these games ending basically by one possession. We've gone through it many times. I've repeated it to you. Jaguar fans, you know. You lost four games last year by a field goal. You lost a fifth game by 4 points. You lost a sixth game by 6 points. And that's the league. That's Jacksonville, a team that averaged 10.8 points less scoring a game. You went sixth in the league from scoring to 31st in the league to scoring. Nearly 11 points a game, and you still, despite scoring 11 fewer points a game for 16 games, you lost six games by 6 points or less. I mean, think about that. If you averaged the 10.8 points that you did a year ago, you easily would have been 11-5, not 5-11. And I'd have to look at the schedule to see if you had that average, would you have won any other games? I don't remember. That's the NFL. Go back and look at Florida State's losses. They're not 6 points or less. Okay? I mean, they got their doors blown away. So that's the question you got to ask yourself if you were evaluating that. Now, teams have shown that they can do it. Look at what Dan Mullen did. Dan Mullen took over a team that averaged 22 points a game. A team that threw, what, 10 touchdowns, 11 touchdowns in 2017? The University of Florida hadn't had a 20-touchdown passer going back to the days of Tim Tebow. And Felipe Franks, who was on just about every... See, that's the point I'm talking about with settling. Felipe Franks' name was in vain after 4-8. Even last year when you guys won some ugly games early, you never really embraced Felipe Franks. You were frustrated and you were upset. Same token, Florida State was that way with DeAndre Francois. DeAndre Francois was freaking miserable. Felipe Franks is such a good teammate and good player. Yeah, he got off on the Florida fans after scoring that touchdown. I mean, you guys were all over him. You guys were destroying him. But that's what I'm trying to get at as far as not settling. Now, fans, you're allowed to be this way. And so many of you are, you love playing the role of I'm never wrong guy fan. Okay? I'd like to get a showing of the hands right now for the people out there driving around a Friday night who took Felipe Franks' name in vain. They're going to look you right in the eye right now and say, that wasn't me. Oh, no way. No way. Do you see what he did in that comeback against South Carolina? Do you see what he did against Florida State? Do you see what he did in that bowl game against Michigan? That wasn't me. That was someone else. Those are fans. That's why you're a fan. You can be fair weather. You can go back and forth. You're never wrong guy fan. There's never wrong guy members of the media. They're all over the place. Florida fans didn't settle. Okay? That's what's boiled my blood. And that's going to be my approach all season long. Okay? I mean, there's just no other way for me to spin it. I'm not happy, and I'm going to do my best to not allow you to be happy with average to below average play, with average to below average coaching. That's what's so great about being in a pro town as opposed to being in a college town, is that when the Jags don't win, the fans are upset. And when you talk about problems and about fixing problems, the fans don't take it personally. They understand that things have to happen. And sometimes they even get pretty uptight about it, like when Gus Bradley is kept around too long, or when Blake Bortles is kept around too long, or maybe you're wondering why Dave Caldwell's still part of the staff. I understand your feelings on that, but we can conversate about it. And we can discuss, and whether you agree or disagree is so much better than getting out of the cow town where you have to say everything in a positive fashion. Look at Jeremy Fowler, wrote something bad about Florida. Urban Meyer chewed his ass up. You can't question it. I mean, listen, I'm friends with a lot of people over in Tallahassee. You can't say anything bad over there. It's like you can't say anything bad in Gainesville. You can't. The only place you could say anything bad is Tuscaloosa. Nick Saban wants you to say something bad about his program. That's his whole rat poisoning theory. That's the difference between college and pro and the media. Every college writer strives to get out of there. Local college writer, college media, talk shows, whatever. You're handcuffed. Trust me, I know. Absolutely, I know. All right, coming up our next hour, I have something on college football that, believe it or not, is not Florida State or Florida related. It involves college football as a whole. And you're going to be blown away by this. You are, because I did a lot of research on this today. I got my credentials from the ACC. Really looking forward to that. I can't wait to have my sit down with Willie Taggart. That's going to be a whole hell of a lot of fun. Coming up on July 17th. I'm going to remind him of his quote that he doesn't want to sub out that offense. Now, I'm like a dinosaur. I remember that quote. He told it to me a year ago. It was an awful quote, almost as bad as the way that he coached. As we head to this break, how many current Division I coaches have national championships right now in college football?
Man, you got to make me think about this one for a sec. One.
Think about it during the break, Matt LeVay.
All right.
When we come back, we'll make our way towards that. Plus, Jalen Ramsey to speak Tuesday. Mandatory minicamp next week right here in Jacksonville. We discuss in hour number two with Rick Ballew.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, music provided by Matt LeVay, who's all dressed up to the nines tonight. I have a feeling you, young man, you're going to make a young lady happy this weekend. That's just kind of the way I'm looking at things from across the glass.
It's funny you say that, Rick. I got a hot date tomorrow night, so looking forward to that.
Are you kidding me now? Is this your first date, second date, third date? Where are you at?
This will be number four.
All right, so good. That means you're still opening up the car door for her, right?
Oh, absolutely. Every single door.
This is what it's all about, ladies and gentlemen. This is the type of kid you want to bring home to your mom. The young, aspiring Matt LeVay, a Florida grad, albeit. Were you all pissed off when the Gators were 4-8?
Oh, absolutely. Of course.
You didn't settle, right?
No.
Okay.
Not at all. Why settle?
So tomorrow, what, you pick her up, get a couple of drinks in her, maybe throw a burger down her throat. No, I'm kidding. No, you're a class guy. You can do all these great things. Take her out. And what do you got planned?
Yeah, we're actually going to be heading to a shrimp game. So this will be the first time she sees me at a sporting event. So we'll see if it gets a little wild.
Now, if you're going to a shrimp game, you got to go with a hot dog. Because a hot dog is always the, you know, sometimes a couple of them.
That's the typical go-to.
You have to. Yeah.
Of course. Of course, with the jumbo shrimp, though, you can get all kinds of seafood now. So plenty of options to choose from on the menu.
All right. Matt LaVey, ladies and gentlemen. If you see him out there, buy him a Fresca.
Please do.
Right? People hate dynasties. Hate the Patriots. They hate Golden State. Right now in college football, I think we're in an interesting phase where there are two tremendous programs. Just phenomenal programs. Clemson and Alabama. Kind of looked at differently. Clemson's got that whole we are family approach, which really comes from Sister Sledge in the 1979 Pittsburgh Pirates. And, of course, Nick Saban's all business. He wants the rat poison. We're a factory. We're just going to run them in and run them out. And that's fine. Both programs are totally powerful, and I don't see either one leaking oil here in 2019. But I was really interested. I got my credentials for the ACC, so I started reading a little bit about Manny Diaz. And I've known Manny forever. He was a frat brother with my brother at Florida State. He actually spent 2 years in the media at FSU, including going to Bristol for one summer and did an internship with ESPN. But I've known Manny for a long, long time. He takes over. And, you know, it's an interesting year because when's the last time there wasn't a coaching change in the SEC? I'm going to Hoover many years. This year it goes to Atlanta. There's even talk that it might go to Dallas soon, which is just wrong. Seriously, you had to get out of Hoover. It's just, it's backwards. And I feel bad for those Alabama fans who would hop in the trailer and take the short pilgrimage from the woods to the mall for their vacation. But come on, it has to go to Atlanta. I wish the ACC was still at Pinehurst. That was phenomenal. It's not. It's gotten bigger. It's now in Charlotte. Well, the SEC, no coaching changes this year. Again, it's really unusual. The ACC went through several. Okay, Mack Brown is back. Larry Fedora, everyone, you know, very nice guy. Always enjoyed my conversations with Larry Fedora. Mack Brown is back. Several changes in the Atlantic Coast Conference. For those of you who may have forgotten, Paul Johnson is now out at Georgia Tech. Jeff Collins, who was a former defensive coordinator for the Florida Gators, back I think in 15, 16, last couple of years at Temple, he takes over there. Scott Satterfield replaces Bobby Petrino. I think Bobby stole my highlighter last year in Charlotte. He walked away with it. I always heard about Bobby Petrino. If he shook his hand, check. Make sure you still have four fingers and a thumb. I love Bobby Petrino. I still think this man can flat out coach. He was the victim of no Lamar Jackson, and obviously him, Rick Pitino, and Tom Jurich did whatever they could to try to burn down Louisville. But Scott Satterfield is in. All right. Manny Diaz is in. So you have four new coaches who are in this year in the Atlantic Coast Conference. And I was looking around at like some of the top jobs. I'll be the first to admit I had really forgotten that Danner Holgorsen had left West Virginia, is now going back to Houston. That one kind of escaped me. Went five hole. But, you know, I looked through that again. And I was just thinking about things. I asked you, LaVey, can you think of it right now? Current head coaches who have won national championships. How many you got?
I can think of four off the top of my head.
Give me.
I got Nick Saban, Dabo Sweeney, Mack Brown, and Jimbo Fisher is what comes to mind.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Mack Brown coming back is the fourth. A lot of people would have forgot that. Some may say Scott Frost. Matt Hayes texted me and said Scott Frost. Pretty funny stuff. It's not. But think about just how bizarre that is. There are only four current, and I went back today and I looked up guys like Gene Chizik. And I looked up like Larry Coker. I wanted to make sure there wasn't, or Dennis Erickson. I want to make sure there wasn't like some obscure coach that I kind of forgot about that was no longer in the Power Five and was maybe at some directional school. But that's it. That's the level we're at. And here we are entering again where the top two teams are going to be Clemson and Alabama. And obviously there's going to be a lot of push for Georgia. That is not a school, in my opinion, that has more pressure on them this year than Georgia to win a national title. They have to do it. It's been 39 years. They have to win a national title. Anything short of that is a disappointment. And Kirby Smart has recruited as well as any coach in college football. He has been phenomenal. But winning the East isn't good enough. Going to Atlanta is not good enough. Beating Florida here is not good enough. They have to win it all. So outside of Kirby Smart, who would be the obvious answer, who is the next coach to win a national championship? Not named Saban, Sweeney, Fisher, or Brown. Who is it? I mean, is it Lincoln Riley? Certainly, I wouldn't go too far down the list before I stop right there. And when I think of the Big 12, I mean, who else really has a chance there? Tom Herman, once he settles in with some recruiting classes, maybe. Certainly they had the money. No one has more than Texas. Ryan Day at Ohio State, don't we expect somewhat of a fall off there with him? I mean, I think anything post-Urban, I think you're set for a disappointing year. And for Ohio State, you know, a disappointing year, maybe 10-2 in the regular season and not a trip to the Big Ten, you know, championship game. We did forget Les Miles. He's back at Kansas. Thank you. A fifth one has been added. Matt LaVey letting me know about that. I forgot. The Mad Hatter is back, and God bless him. Okay? And hopefully he does a great job there. If there's another one out there like that, please let me know. So a fifth head coach, Les Miles. Lincoln Riley. Jim Harbaugh? What is Jim Harbaugh? 1-7 maybe? 1-8 against top 10 opponents. That's his record, and he's done nothing against Ohio State. James Franklin? I mean, seriously, help me out here. Where are you going? Are you going to Paul Christ at Wisconsin? Are you going to Mike D'Antonio at Michigan State? Are you going to anyone in the Pac-12? Anyone whatsoever? I mean, think of the powerhouses in the Pac-12. Let's begin with Clay Helton, who probably enters this year in college football under the hottest seat of them all. Some of it his fault, not entirely his fault, but some of it his fault. You know, Mario Cristobal. Doing a pretty good job, returns his entire offensive line right now at Oregon. Still, I mean, it's Oregon. Oregon's not going to win a national championship. Right? It's not going to happen at Oregon. Brian Kelly? Notre Dame doesn't have the speed to win a national title. Notre Dame can't play with the speed from the South. Notre Dame is stuck in the Tom Osborne Nebraska days of the 90s. Remember every year in the late 80s and then the 90s, even the early 80s, when Miami or Florida State, didn't matter if it was the Orange Bowl or the Fiesta Bowl, they beat Nebraska. Why they beat Nebraska? Because they took their game outside of the phone booth. They went east to west on them. And if you were to do it in the ditch, Nebraska would beat the tar out of you. And those are some physical Florida State and Miami teams. Florida State and Miami beat them by running around them. Tom Osborne didn't have the speed to match. And he got it in the mid-90s. Amon Green, Lawrence Phillips, yada, yada, yada. Tommy Frazier started getting it. Not going to happen with Brian Kelly right now. You know, Chip Kelly, David Shaw. I'm all ears here, folks. Give me your input on the 1010XL text line. Built by Lifetime Enclosures. No, it's not going to happen in the Pac-12. The ACC? I mean, come on. There's not a coach in that conference right now that you could honestly say with a straight face, not named Dabo Swinney, that you think has a legitimate shot to win a national title this year. Well, hey, things could change down the road. I'm talking about right now, in the know. Who's the next head coach to win a national title? Out of the three that we mentioned, and then the return of Mack Brown and the return of Les Miles. Neither of which those two are anywhere near national title contenders. Ah, let's go to the SEC. That's where it's going to come from, isn't it? Admit it. Dan Mullen. Ed Orgeron. Gus Malzahn. Okay, Kirby's the automatic. If you're joining us for the first time, he would be the one that most would pick, but still got to do it. Anyone else worthy of the conversation? Don't Ole Miss me. Don't Mississippi State me. Don't Arkansas me. I don't have time. I only have a two-hour show. Okay, don't Missouri me. You got middle-of-the-road teams in the vaunted SEC as well. Don't Vanderbilt me. Don't do it. Don't Kentucky me. Bob Stoops has the longest tenure in the SEC East. It's crazy. It's kind of like saying Lane Kiffin has the longest tenure of a head coach in the state of Florida. He does. Along with what? Charlie Strong? Those are the two, I believe. Manny's new. Dan Mullen's new. Willie Taggart's new. Am I forgetting anyone?
Josh Heupel's new.
Josh Heupel? Please. Don't waste my time with Central Florida stuff. You're a nice program. The arrogance of Danny White. Making money, right? Yeah, okay. Two for one. No, no. Earn your stripes. Get it done on the road. Anyone, anywhere, anytime. Look at what Howard Schnellenberger did. Look at what Bobby Bowden did. Times have changed, but sure they have. Well, don't come crawling in and whining again when you're left at the altar because you haven't played anyone. Be interested to see how the response is on the 1010XL text line. I'll take a look at that right now during the break. I'd love to hear from you on it. I mean, honestly, it just blows me away that the great game of college football has been going on forever. And with apologies to Les Miles and with apologies to Mack Brown, realistically, there's really only three. And I'll also go as far as to tell you this. Jimbo Fisher's never winning a national championship at Texas A&M. That's not going to happen. I mean, Jimbo got 19 calls. You think the St. Louis Blues got calls last night? How many calls did Jimbo get in that victory against LSU? Once Jimbo Fisher consistently wins 10 games in the SEC West, you know where he's going? He's either going to Auburn or LSU. Okay, he's going to use that program as well. He's a Kardashian. Kardashians have eyes that wander. They're always looking for the newest hot thing. That's Jimbo. He's looking for a hot thing. So if Jimbo wins 10 games for a couple of years, bam, he'll be in Baton Rouge. Or bam, he'll be in the Plains. Or if Dabo doesn't leave, maybe he goes to Alabama. Or if Dabo does leave, maybe he goes to Clemson. I don't know. So fill it in. Who is the next coach? 1010XL text line, built by Lifetime Enclosures. Their number is 641-1010. All right, we got much more to do tonight, including the very latest on the Jaguars. All of that coming up as we do news and notes, brought to you by TruckCrashLaw.com.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Really disturbing story coming out of Detroit tonight. Apparently, authorities out there are saying that a serial killer is in the city. And they are few and far between these days, targeting women the age of 50 or older. Apparently luring them in to a vacant building, raping, and killing. More than three victims so far in a very short period of time, to the point where authorities in Detroit called the press conference today to discuss. I mean, murder in any city is awful. Murder in general is often, but you know, authorities do a really good job tracking down serial killers, and you don't hear a lot about them anymore. I think the last one we heard about in the States outside of San Francisco was in New Jersey. And a lot of times they go after transients and prostitutes and people who don't have anyone looking for them. Therefore, if they're missing, there's an assumption that maybe they've relocated. Which is much different than a loved one who doesn't return home that night. Not to say that these individuals aren't loved. They're just, they don't have family anymore. They're not in contact with their families. Authorities typically track them down. It takes a little bit of time. Okay? They typically do. And they find them. I follow this stuff religiously. It's kind of my hobby away from sports. It's not one that I'm, I'm a criminology grad. I actually want to go that avenue at one point in my life, and I just love reading about it. It's just, I hope they get on this and solve this very quickly. Detroit's a good town. Always in love, enjoyed being on there at night. When I was in Chicago, coming in after the great Ernie Hartwell, after Tiger games, or going on AM 1270 out there after Red Wing games, one of the original six. Awful story. I haven't seen anything like that in a long, long, long time. All right, tonight's show is brought to you by Key Buick GMC. Great deals going on right now there, including the GMC Sierra 1500 Crew Cab. Save $16,500 on select trucks. Also choose a brand new GMC Acadia. Save more than $12,000 off. As always, the powertrain warranty is in effect. Buy a brand new Buick, a brand new GMC. Powertrain warranty. Just think about how important that is for you as a vehicle owner. If something goes wrong with your vehicle, Key Buick, Key GMC, the only folks in town who offer that up. Right there on the corner of Southside and Gate, across the street from Tinseltown. Make sure you visit them this weekend or check them out online. Go to KeyBuickGMC.com. See dealer for details. All right, let's get to news and notes, truth teller style. Brought to you tonight and each and every night by TruckCrashLaw.com. Phenomenal. Lawyers right here in town. Their service is impeccable. They're the only folks who, this is their expertise, where if you have been injured, it could even be fatal. Out on the road, by a truck, a tractor trailer, an RV, a bus. Go to TruckCrashLaw.com. It's the only law firm statewide where this is all that they do. And they care about you, and they want to be there for you. So make sure, say someone's maybe been missing from work, and they're dealing with this, and you're aware of it. They are familiar with the name, TruckCrashLaw.com. This in moments ago. How about this from the National Hockey League before Game 6? I'm trying to think if it is the... Okay, it is Barbashev now. He is going to miss Game 6 for the St. Louis Blues because of the hit on the head last night to Johansson. You know, you had two major headshots last night. Ivan Barbashev to Johansson. Then Sanford hit Troy Krug. And they were far more significant and damaging than the Bozak trip on Akari. Yet, the whole world filled with hockey fans are going crazy about the egregious non-call there because a goal happened 10 seconds after the fact in a 2-1 final for St. Louis. Try to make this point earlier tonight with Frank Hayes and Lauren. The shot by Barbashev and Stanford were far more significant. They were hit straight to the head. And earlier in the series, Greslick was knocked out after taking a shot to the head. Craig Berube has done a phenomenal job getting inside the heads of the officials in this series. to create calls, and in this case, non-calls. Still, I'm not going to whine about it. I'll leave that up to everyone else in Boston. But Barbashev, and you know what? You know what he's done? You know what that fourth line has done? They have held the best scoring line in the world pointless in five-on-five action. St. Louis against Boston. The fourth line, the checking line. Craig Berube has played them against Patty Bergeron, David Pastrnak, and Brad Marchand. And they have been phenomenal. He will not be there for Sunday night game six for his cheap shot, the illegal check to Marcus Johansson. That was in game five one night ago. Getting ready for game four tonight in Golden State. Toronto up 2-1. Kevin Durant not going to play in this one once again. Just how important is it to have a 2-2 series going back to Toronto? I was looking at it earlier today. In the history of the NBA Finals, only once has a team been down 3-1 that has been able to come back and win 3 straight and win the series. Do you remember that, Matt LaVey? Of course you do. You're an NBA guy.
How could I ever forget? LeBron James and the Cavs. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Heck of a 3-game stretch.
I remember growing up in Boston, I think it was 79-80, when Daryl Dawkins, Bobby Jones, Julius Erving and company, Andrew Toney, those great teams, coached by Billy Cunningham, they had a 3-1 lead over Boston. And Boston came back and won game 4-5, or excuse me, won game 5-6-7. They won a total of 3 games by 4 points. And won games 5-6-7. Went on that year to beat, I don't know if they beat the Lakers that year or if they beat Houston that year. Part of their 3 titles in the 80s. That would have been the 81 season, excuse me. 81, 84, and 86 is when Boston won. Of course, L.A. won another title, 4 titles, I believe, in the decade of the 80s. People hate dynasties. We love dynasties then, right? When they faced one another. Didn't we kind of love dynasties then when the Cowboys played the Steelers? Yeah, the Steelers always won. We're down on dynasties now, though, and that's the case. Kind of our conversation tonight on in the world of college football. That's where we're at. The Jaguars. 3-day minicamp begins on Tuesday. Let me find it here. I printed it a little bit earlier. The Jaguars are obviously expecting everyone to show up. Jalen Ramsey, they have announced, will speak to the media on Tuesday. That is Tuesday after practice. I like it. And as I said last night, I wish it had been Wednesday or wish it had been Thursday, only because he would have practiced for 2 or 3 days and he may have had a little bit better of an opinion on what he's seeing from Nick Foles. Instead, the media will get access to him after the first practice on Tuesday. Better than nothing. So the way the media schedule is set, Doug Marrone before practice on Tuesday, Jalen Ramsey after practice on Tuesday. Practice is early, oh, by the way. I think it's at 8:15. Really going to affect my sleeping time, LaVey. I don't know how I'm going to handle that. I'm going to have to fight traffic at like these 7 o'clock, 7:30. I mean, what?
That's the earliest I've ever heard of you waking up, Rick.
I might just
weave it apart.
I may have to get a hotel down there. What's the one by the old Gator Lodge there on Phillips Highway? I'm a big spender. And if I rent by the hour, which I think you can, if I get in there at like 3 a.m. and sleep there till 7 a.m., I can only pay like 4 hours worth, right? I can't believe they changed the name of the Gator Lodge right there, right by the centerfold on Phillips.
I'm trying to think of where that is. I don't know if I know that one.
Sure you don't. Yeah. Yeah. LaVey's got a big date tomorrow night. He didn't know where that is. John DeFilippo, Wednesday before practice, Nick Foles after. And then Thursday, Todd Wash before practice, Doug Marrone after. And there's good news as well. There'll be locker room availability after the practice sessions on Tuesday and Wednesday. Therefore, I'll have an opportunity to talk with some guys in the locker room. I'll have sound for you coming up on each and every one of those nights. So, Jag fans, here we are. Okay? We'll set the table Monday night, but we have Tuesday, we have Wednesday, and we have Thursday. And that's it. The team will break. I'm actually going on vacation beginning that Saturday for a week down in the Keys. And there will not be another thing involved with the Jaguars on the field until very, very late July, early August. Unbelievable. Summer is flying by. Tee times have been announced for the United States Open, which gets underway Thursday at Pebble Beach. The threesome of Tiger Woods, Spieth, and Justin Rose. 5:09 on Thursday, 11:24 on Friday, giving you Eastern time zone times, right? We live here in Jacksonville. You want the Eastern time zone. Tiger, Spieth, and Rose, 5:09 and 11:24. There you go. Plan accordingly. Tyreek Hill apparently is not going to be charged. Back to the NFL, I wanted to share that with you if you had not heard. And what about Dallas Keuchel? On his way now to the Atlanta Braves, a one-year deal. It's going to pay him $13 million. This is a huge move now for Atlanta. You know, really fortify one of the youngest rotations in all of Major League Baseball. So congratulations to the Atlanta Braves. I know they wish they still had a closer. Of course, just a couple of days ago, Craig Kimbrel did end up signing with the Chicago Cubs. This time it is Dallas Keuchel on his way now to Atlanta. There you go. News and notes brought to you by truckcrashlaw.com. Really interested to see what the Braves are able to do here. I mean, some of the moves they've been able to make, it's almost like they're acting like a small market team, the way that they were able to get the deals done with Acuna and Albies and, you know, the youth movement that that organization does have. You know, these young arms, you just don't really know at this particular point. Is there a chance that some of these men could end up going the route of, you know, what you saw with certainly Maddox, who they got from Chicago, but, you know, homegrown talent like Tom Glavin. And, you know, a lot of people do forget they actually traded for John Smoltz, gave up Doyle Alexander to get him. But they drafted a guy like Steve Avery. You know, they had these great rotations. Mike Soroka right now, very young guy. Mike Foltynewicz leads Major League Baseball in home runs allowed, or I think he's second in home runs allowed with 15 so far this year. Max Fried pitching well. Kevin Gausman. You know, you have the veteran in Turan. But where's it going to fit in now with Keuchel? You bring in a tournament-tested ace. 90 career wins. Get him ready. He's going to basically make about $1 million a start. You know, how many starts is he going to give you? $13 million 1 year. You know, maybe not a million. He may be able to give you 16, 17 starts. But basically, $850,000 or whatever it is, a start. It's a pretty good life, I would say so. All right, let's wrap things up next. Give you the very latest as to what is happening as we continue to give you everything that is happening in the world of sports. We'll also get you ready for James Coleman and Denny Thompson. Much more coming up with Ballou until 9 o'clock on this Friday night.
Into the Night with Rick Ballou on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
I got a lot of response on the 1010XL text line built by Lifetime Enclosures on the next coach to win a natty. Joining us for the first time is only five currently in the world of college football. Two return, Mac Brown to Chapel Hill and Les Miles to Lawrence, Kansas. But, you know, there's Nick and there's Dabo and there's Jimbo, and that's it. And most say Kirby Smart, got a couple of Dan Mullins in here. This guy says Washington, Oregon, Oklahoma, Texas, Michigan, Georgia, Notre Dame, Florida, and LSU have a chance. I think Malzahn and Helton are gone. Urban Meyer is going to go to Auburn. Don't see that for Urban Meyer. I think Urban Meyer goes one of two places. I think he goes to USC or he goes to Notre Dame. And right now, Brian Kelly's not on the hot seat. You know, that could change in a couple of years. I just can't see Urban Meyer in the plans. I may be dead wrong. I don't ever see Washington winning a national title. I know they won it in 91. They split it with Tech. Or that, wait, that was Miami who split it with Tech, I believe. Washington won it in 90. No, Brunell was here in 97. Wasn't Brunell the backup quarterback? Maybe it was 90 or 91. I know Washington split 1 year and Georgia Tech split 1 year. To look back on that. Split titles. Oregon, nah, not going to happen. They're not going to win a national title. Oklahoma could. Texas could. You know, Michigan could, but I tell you what, you talk about a speed bump to get over. Jim Harbaugh can't beat top 10 teams. Again, I think he's either 1 of 7 or 1 or 8. 1 of 8. Not 1 of 8, 1 and 8 against top 10 teams. Georgia, absolutely. That would be the pick. Would Kirby Smart if I had to? I picked Georgia to win the national title last year. You know, I also picked Green Bay to beat Jacksonville in the Super Bowl. Should I switch the politics, LeVay?
I'd say that's a wise idea, Rick.
Okay. What about possibly relationships?
I could see you doing a little late night talk show about relationships. People calling in.
How about a serial killer podcast with a splash of hockey?
Oh, you would thrive in that. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Notre Dame's not going to win a national title. They haven't been a player since 88. 93 they were, obviously. But they just don't have the teen speed. And you know, people don't, like, for instance, where I grew up, that's, and granted, I was, most of my buddies were Irish Catholic. Everyone wanted to go to Notre Dame. But that was really kind of the city of Boston. Notre Dame was number one. It was a little bit of Penn State flavor. It was a tiny bit of Michigan flavor. No one talked about coming down here. And this was in the 80s. You know, a big deal there would be, could you get offered by BC or Syracuse? I went to UMass UConn games. You look at Storrs, Connecticut. I remember when Chris Palmer, former offensive coordinator of the Jaguars. I mean, we'd be up on a hill. There'd be keg races. It had a hill that would kind of look down at the old stadium in Storrs, Connecticut. Yeah, there was about 5,000 people in there. Connecticut's really grown. But I'm just telling you, I mean, college football is a joke there. And kids who can play, they want to go to Notre Dame. That's the point I'm trying to make. Kids don't care about that anymore. They don't. I mean, everyone's on TV. A lot of these kids want to get out of the crappy weather. I mean, obviously, Notre Dame recruits nationally. It's tough to recruit just Indiana. Now look at Aaron Hernandez. He was one of the highest recruited kids to come out of there. You know, coming out of Rhode Island. He said, I want to go to Florida. That's where I want to go to school. You know, you do not produce a lot of football players out of there. Florida State's got a kid, a mammoth tight end out of Bridgeton, Maine. Okay, he wanted to go where it was warm. Those are just the facts. Like, Florida had an offensive lineman as well recently. I think he was out of Connecticut. If memory serves me correct. Kids want to go elsewhere. Notre Dame is not what it once was. They're not winning a national title. Got a lot of jokes here about Scott Frost and Josh Heupel kind of getting in there as well. It really is just a weird, weird situation. And it is going to change. It's going to take some time because I don't see Clemson or Alabama falling off in the near future. But it's not going to be this way forever. It's not. I mean, it's a different era. It is. The football isn't necessarily better. It's just a different style right now. And it really is a little bit bizarre that there's not more competitive college football. It's so top heavy. You know, around here in the 90s, the late 80s and the 90s was so special because all three teams were forces. I mean, Miami had four different coaches and they won titles, snatching them away from Florida State. It's, you know, when Spurrier got there, he brought some excitement to Florida. You know, he made them into one of the elite. And it was a great era because Nebraska was powerful. And there were other teams that would put together phenomenal seasons. You know, 97 Michigan comes to mind. You know, West Virginia had a great club with Major Harris that comes to mind. You know, you would have teams like Oklahoma would put together a really strong year. Notre Dame would put together a really strong year. You would always have these teams that would, you know, the SEC always had a strong competitive balance. College football is just lacking for that right now. But it's going to change. And that's why I'm always going to hammer how much better the game would be if you had an 8-team or a 16-team college football playoff, because you would get upsets. And it's so moronic for people to, again, look at what happened last year in the semifinals and say, we shouldn't even have a semifinal anymore. We should just have the one game. There's only two good teams, Clemson, Alabama. That is just so foolish. I mean, I know I've mentioned this before, but I mean, I just can't believe that there are people in these positions who actually say that or tweet it out. It's one thing if you're Joe Sixpack and you've already had a 12 and you tweet it out. It's another thing if this is your profession, it's your job and you say it. I mean, those people didn't even remember that Georgia-Oklahoma game from a year prior. I cannot believe that. How something like that could happen and really boil my blood. That's just foolish. Think before you tweet. Base the whole future of college football based on 1 year. And others will say, well, it's been that way for the last several years. Okay. I got you. But Georgia had a hell of a run, knocking off Oklahoma. Yeah, they let a guy get wide open against Alabama. They came about as close to winning that damn thing as you can. And you would have taken that thing away if you didn't have a Final Four. Talking about adding alcohol sales now at the world's largest outdoor cocktail party. I'd love to be involved in these conversations. I wouldn't even need to add my two cents. I'd love to hear these conversations. Honestly, this would be a whole heck of a lot of fun for me to hear the higher-ups, to hear Greg McGarrity, to hear Strickland, to hear Rick Catlett, who, you know, hear anyone else, the mayor, Lenny Curry. I don't know who's involved in all of this. But there's so much money involved. I mean, people will pay 10, 11, 12 bucks a pop. Why wouldn't they take on the alcohol sales? And I understand that they are going to say, well, we want to look out for the safety of the people. Have you taken a look at the parking lot? Do you walk through the parking lot to get into the stadium? I mean, I know what the attempt is, but also be a realist here. People who want the booze find a way to get the booze. And I know it's tougher to get in now than it used to be, and they do a nice job with the security. But unless they have an example of how not allowing alcohol sales would limit, let's say, fighting that occurs in the stadium, you don't want that. See all the video last night of the Bruins fans fighting each other? That's how pissed off those mass holes are. That's why I left those people behind. I'm a lover, not a fighter, LeVay. You know I don't throw hands.
No, that's true. You're a guy that keeps it to yourself.
Mine.
Holds back.
God, I mean, it's one thing to be upset about losing, but these guys are all wearing Boston Bruins shirts, and they're beating the living tar out of each other.
It was really funny to watch. I'm not going to lie.
I mean, I see these fights because they go on Twitter all the time, and they happen everywhere. You know, they happen. Fights happen at sporting events. But 99.9% of the time when you see a fight at a sporting event, It's between guys from two different teams, representing two different teams, two fan bases from other schools or other pro cities. In Boston last night, they were so upset with one another. They were beating the living tar out of each other.
Now, the two-minute drill, delivered by Moe's Southwest Grill.
Welcome to Moe's!
At Moe's, our caterings come with a heaping side of peace of mind, not to mention the free chips and salsa, delivery, and setup. Visit moescateringfl.com.
Players fight with one another, Coleman, but fans shouldn't fight with one another.
No, I don't think that should happen. That's just tasteless. I mean, you spend all that money to get to that game, especially a Stanley Cup final, just to have to spend more money to get yourself, bail yourself out to pokey.
Yep.
I mean, now everybody's not only is their evening ruined, but now the next day, because you're not a celebrity. You're not getting in and out quick. You're going to have to spend that full about 8 hours of processing if you're lucky.
Yeah, it's going to take a long time in there. And, you know, those jailbirds are going to be upset too because they're Bruins fans.
Yeah.
And it's going to look at these drunk Bruin fans and be like, just throw them in there and let them sober up.
Yeah. I mean, it's a sobering thing when that metal hits.
Clink.
Yeah.
All right, buddy, what's coming up tonight?
You know, it's Petty Friday, so we got a good amount of stuff that we're going to talk about. Denny's coming back from traveling and, you know, doing his quarterback thing, training. You got Tyreek Hill situation to talk about.
Right.
You know, looks like the sun is shining on God's country. We're finally getting into big boy school stuff,
mm-hmm.
having the booster program actually answer to your athletic department as opposed mm-hmm. to the athletic department answer to the booster program and go where they want to. So you got that, Clay, and misbehaving on the floor seats.
Yeah.
Just some interesting things that happened. We talked a little bit about the owner, the minority owner, but the big owner, she didn't misbehave, but mm-hmm. she got some very unwanted pettiness thrown her way. So we'll probably talk about that a little bit as well.
It's really a shame because it's the only sport where you can do that. I mean, there's no access to do that in football, hockey, of the glass. I mean, baseball, they do a real good job with security. Now the netting that's up, you can't mm-hmm. do it. I mean, basketball is the one sport where you can have that type of relationship. And 99.9% of the people do it the right way.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think it was the owner just, I don't know what his deal was.
It was a bad look for
yeah,
him.
It just didn't look. That's the biggest thing is it wasn't a deadly shove. It's just, no, it was an unnecessary shove. It wasn't even nowhere near him.
Yeah.
Like,
he doesn't make that shove if they're winning.
Oh, not at all.
Yeah, it's a bad look. A
couple guys talked about it. He doesn't make that shove if it's Ron Artest either. He doesn't make that shove if it's a couple other guys.
Yeah.
But you gotta get that. There's no place for that. You know, Drake stuff. It depends on your opinion. Mm-hmm. I think he's earned that for being the ambassador of Toronto, essentially, or Canada. Yeah. But he doesn't do anything to where it's actually impeding the or player safety or whatever you want to say. It's just more of a nuance. But when you're that big of a superstar, you want him at your game, so he gets a little bit of
yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the Tyreek Hill situation will be weird because he's not going to be charged, but he's still suspended right now by the Kansas City Chiefs. That's obviously the Jaguars' opener.
Yeah.
And I never want to see a guy miss a game because of an injury, but last year, let's say, like, New England came in, Julian Edelman was serving a suspension for a PED situation. Kind of like to have Hill be out for the opener.
Oh, much like if he's out.
It's Jaguars.
If he's out, I believe that's a Jaguar W. Part of me wants to say he shouldn't be suspended because he's not facing any.
Yeah, you don't want a guy to be charged who's not charged to have to pay a penalty.
Yeah, I think the NFL in a lot of cases has overreached.
Yeah.
But in this one right here, I just feel like there is enough evidence to where the NFL's got to do something. He's a repeat offender, and you're even though he's not the biggest NFL player, but he's still a professional athlete, and there's no place for trying to inflict fear onto your family situation and being a bully to your own family. So
he is electrifying. There's no doubt.
Yeah,
all right, buddy. Well, have some fun.
Yeah.
All right, James Coleman Sports Den coming up right now. Quick reminder: 4-4 to State baseball fans, they will kick off their super regional tomorrow at LSU. 3:00 on ESPN is game one. Sunday game two at 6:00. On ESPN2, if necessary, Monday night, June 10th at 8:30. It'll be on ESPN as well. So this could be it for Mike Martin, 39-21. If he wins one of these games, he will win 40 games for 40 consecutive years. Think about that. Of course, he's got to win two of these three against LSU to make it back to Omaha and the College World Series. That's going to do it for us. Tonight's show brought to you by Key Buick, Key GMC. Right now you can get a brand new GMC Sierra 1500 crew cab, save $16,500 right now on select trucks, or choose a brand new GMC Acadia, save more than $12,000 off. Remember, if you buy a brand new Buick or GMC from Key, the powertrain warranty is always in effect right there across from Tinseltown on the corner of Southside and Gate, or go to KeyBuickGMC.com. See dealer for details. Matt LaVey, have a great weekend, young man.
Appreciate that, Rick. You too. Good luck to the Bruins.
Yes, thank you. Game 6 coming up on Sunday night. Going to be a tough one. I honestly think that they kind of blew it after Game 4, but we'll see. We'll be here for it anyway on Monday. Big week as well with the Jags next week. Mandatory minicamp, including Jalen Ramsey to speak on Tuesday, but of course we'll be here Monday for that show before then. My name's Rick Ballew. Have a great night. Talk with you then.